With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas, and more, or simply just want to soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder. Or find a featured all-inclusive package to Sunscape Resorts and Spas and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.
Oh my God, this summer, I just want to be sitting somewhere in the sun, reading a book all summer long. And I know that's not the reality, but I'm going to build this fantasy in my head and Macy's is going to help me do it.
Do it.
I'm going to get a caftan. I can't wait.
I need you in one of those giant straw hats that says Bon Voyage.
Easy.
Guys, check out Macy's.com for new bathing suits, beach towels, even floaties for the kids. They have all the poolside and beach essentials that we need for our summer and yours too.
Shop at Macy's.com or in store.
You guys, have you heard about Squarespace? You must have, because I talk about it all the time. Their website has helped me with my businesses, but it will also help you grow your business. And it really does take the guesswork out of building a website. They have so many helpful and amazing tools, product features, and they make it so user-friendly. Now, one of our favorite product features is the Fluid Engine. With Fluid Engine, a next-generation website design system from Squarespace, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity. Start with a best-in-class website template and then customize every design detail with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. Stretch your imagination online with Fluid Engine, built in and ready to go on any new Squarespace site. Go to squarespace.com/drama for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code DRAMA to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant makes navigation a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while you're on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
First of all, you don't know me.
We're all about that high school drama girl, drama girl. All about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl.
Drama girl.
Cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens.
Smart girl, rough girl. Fashion, but you're tough girl. You could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens. Drama, drama queens, drama queens.
Oh, babe. This episode. It was great. This episode was fucking great, but also I'm traumatized.
By the way, I loved this episode so much. Mm-hmm. And the whole time I was just watching this emotional tragedy that you and Chad had to play out. And I was like, did they just keep Advil on set for y'all? Like, were they keeping you hydrated? I was so sad and heartbroken for you both.
But same for you. Boy. I was just like, why are they putting Sophia the human through this? Like, this is fucking hard. Guys, this is
a lot of hard work on this one.
Very different episode. Very, very different episode. Beautifully written, which is why we're so affected by this, by Terrence Coley. Why don't you tell them what the rundown is, baby?
Yeah, Terry Coley did such a great job on this. Y'all, we're here for season 6, episode 17. You and me and the bottle makes 3 tonight. Which actually feels sort of appropriate. It is early here. I don't have a liquor. I have a smoothie. But our compatriot Joy is shooting a film. Not that it's about me, but she is shooting in Sofia, Bulgaria, which does make me feel sort of chic. Yeah, she was like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. You have a whole city, honey. She was like, it's so beautiful here. You would die for the architecture. I was like, that feels nice.
Fantastic.
But it's like late there.
It's very late there. She is actually still on set. She was supposed to join us today. So Hillary, it's you and me and the Smoothie Makes Three.
Oh, girl.
On this podcast.
I got a coffee. Does that
count?
We
got coffees.
I just housed some olive bread. I needed to eat after this episode.
I know. It really did make me feel emotional and snacky. We've really gone a little tangential, but friends, let me tell you what this one is about. Peyton and Lucas receive a startling surprise about the pregnancy. As Brooke and Julian's relationship comes to a crossroads, Nathan and Haley celebrate their anniversary while Dan and Deb babysit Jamie. Mm. Meanwhile, Marvin and Millie try to pick up the pieces of their relationship. I don't love that the synopsis says you get a startling surprise, but I wonder if that's a nod to the title cards of each vignette.
Yeah, I see that. So yeah, that's right? What was so different about this. This was written as a collection of like one-act plays.
Yeah.
And typically we don't get to do that in TV because viewers get bored. They're like, oh God, we've heard the same people talking for two whole pages. Mm-hmm. I got to change the channel. And at this point, I don't know what the catalyst for this was for us to really like sit in these scenes and commit.
I love it.
But it was, as an actor, it was doing a play. Everyone was doing a play.
Yeah, I remember the combination of excitement and anxiety that we all felt when we got the script. Because, yeah, I mean, these scenes are 7, 8, 9 pages in a chunk. And to your point, it is like blocking a play. And it's fun when you're 6 long years into something to be handed a script and have it surprise you.
Yeah. Yeah. And this one, I vividly remember filming this one because Chad and I knew that we had a mountain to climb together. I'm sure you and Austin felt the same way. It's like everyone with their scene partner just locked in. And
yeah.
If we're not seeing sports, to have that kind of sportsmanship behind the scenes felt good. It felt like us, felt like our show to be like, all right, let's go shoot our basket, score our touchdown. You know, like whatever we're doing in this scene, let's make it hurt.
So what you're saying is your whole script was just covered in little X's and O's in the margins.
I mean, kind of. It was dark. You know, as I watched, I was like, okay, I'm not going to get emotional about this, but I do think we need to provide a trigger warning for anyone who hasn't watched the episode or has and just, you know, isn't aware on their drive to work that this is what we're talking about. But, you know, fertility storylines, pregnancy loss storylines, abortion storylines, all of that was touched upon in this episode in a way that I'm actually proud of.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, we had some big talks in this episode.
They were really large. And it was interesting because the episode opens. You know, we talked a lot about how last week was basically like a big rom-com.
Yeah.
And so fun. And one of the things I saw that I appreciated, and I think this was very smart of Terry, our writer, is that opening on Brooke and Julian with the misdirect of, I don't do that, you know, it made it feel like that rom-com. And it feels to me like this episode was really written to like leave one scene from 6:16 and then we sort of like dove out of the humor and into something deeper.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that because where we end up, to your point, the reason we talk about a trigger warning, you know, we end up really in heavy stuff for people. And you talked about this last week, how when you were filming all this stuff as Peyton and Lucas, you hadn't been pregnant. You hadn't been down the roads you've been down to become a mom. And not only did I feel for you guys watching you you know, go through this beautiful play that was so emotional. But I wondered how you would feel about it now, having had the life experiences that you've had since.
Well, what's f***ed up is that I had some experience with this. I was between seasons one and two. I had some fertility issues. I had a problem that caused me to miss a photo shoot in LA, and our boss lost his f***ing mind with me and told me I was ruining everything. And so everyone knows that I'm like the kid lady. Like, I'm like the lady that fucking loves kids. And being a mom is all I ever wanted to do. My manager still tells the story about, you know, we were doing some interview at a record store in Times Square, and everyone asked where we were going to be in 10 years. And I was like, barefoot and pregnant. Like, what do you want from me? So the powers that be knew that I had kind of this heartache about this specific issue. So it's difficult to watch a younger version of myself navigate this, knowing that my future was going to be a future of loss. I knew that I was going to have pregnancy loss. I knew that I was going to need to have abortions at some point in my life, you know? And so it was really easy to cry in these scenes. It's easy to tap into something that, like, but did they think I was that shitty of an actress that we always had to tap into the real stuff? Like, it was manipulative.
I was just going to say, one of the things I love about you is that you will always crack a joke no matter how heavy something is, because that's your sense of humor. But, like, as your friend, that just makes me want to, like, chop off heads, because it wasn't that they had nothing else to do. It was that our boss really enjoyed making people act out versions of their real personal lives on camera. He really took a lot of pleasure in that. And for better or worse, we were very cultured to, like, always smile, always be professional, never let anybody know any of it was getting to us. That's something I'm certainly working through as an adult in therapy, like realizing, I can be miserable and everyone can think I'm happy. This is uncomfortable. Wonder where I learned that.
If I hear one more time in my life, like, we had no idea you were upset. It's like,
oh, really?
Of course not. Because if I'm upset, then I'm unprofessional.
Yeah.
If I actually say how I feel, I get attacked for being the problem. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Mm-hmm. We hit a nerve with this storyline. Mm-hmm. And what I will say is that Chad Michael Murray showed the fuck up. That dude cried on my coverage. He stayed with me the whole time. He wanted to really understand what the girl side of it was. Like, I remember being astounded because we've known Chad forever. He's like it's like a brother, which is f***ed up when, like, a brother character's playing your husband. But we had, like, we picked on each other. We ribbed each other about a lot. You know, we made fart jokes together. Like, it was a very juvenile friendship. And when you know you have to go into this really dark shit that hurts with somebody, the way he showed up made me feel very cared for. And I was able to express that to him, and which made him in turn feel really cared for, that I saw it. You know, it's one thing when, like, you do something nice and then the other person, you don't have to point it out. The other person just, like, recognizes it. And so this was a turning point in our friendship, this episode.
Well, but I think about that in terms of our lives, all of us. And where we had started 6 years prior.
Oh, yeah.
You know, really, I mean, you had more professional experience in this world than a lot of us. But, like, I feel like I was a little hatchling. Like, I had goo behind my ears. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
You done big stuff, though. I love Ryan Reynolds comment in this.
I know. That was very funny. I was like, I never actually dated that guy.
Was it Van Wilder?
Yeah, like the reference to, like, my first movie ever was so funny. Like, and I did love that we ribbed on the fact that so much of what you read on the internet is just so far from true that it's ridiculous.
Well, because who's dated who? Have you looked at your list? Because my list is fucking weird.
Is it crazy?
I didn't date Pete Wentz in real life, you guys.
Well, no, of course you didn't. Yes. By the way, there's so many people that people think I've dated. And I'm like, I mean, I guess I'll let you believe that because I don't really need you knowing my real business. But before we get there, like that whole thing, right? Like we're referencing essentially our childhoods on camera in the episode. But what I really appreciate about what you're saying and what I could see as a viewer and someone who's known you guys for close to, 20 years now, I could see that. That dynamic you're talking about, not just this beautiful story for Lucas and Peyton, I could see it for Hillary and Chad. And what I really love about what you're saying is, you know, we've talked a lot on this podcast. Look, it's the girls. We talk about how we raised each other. We grew up together. We learned lessons together. But something that I think is really special for you and for him, you know, for you, like, I wasn't sure if you were going to share the stuff about what happened between season one and two today. So, A, thank you there. But B, like, we'd all been through a lot in these 6 years together. And it is not lost on me that I see you two in this episode go to a place as partners in a scene that is so deep and so real and so authentic. And, you know, a year later, you both were going to have left Wilmington. You had met Jeffrey. You were starting a family. And like, I don't know how many years it is. I'm not doing the math in my head, but not too much longer after this, I think. He went and started a family.
He did it while he was doing a movie with Jeffrey.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
But I would think that your friendship, and in the same way for us, like we held you through the beginning of loss and the journey for you, like as a man, he got to do that with you.
Yeah.
And I should think that your friendship with him, going from being like a sister figure to playing this wife and mom who he got to show up for, like, you had to help raise that boy into becoming the man and the dad he is today.
He loves being a dad. No one loves
I know.
That guy.
And I think that's so beautiful. Like, there is, I don't know, there's just something so special about watching you guys in this episode and thinking about what everyone's been through for the last 6 years. And I love hearing how held you both felt in your little one act, you know?
It was a learning experience for me because we're both cancers. We both have a hard exterior that sometimes people tell us is unapproachable or just maybe intimidating. Like, oh, you aren't someone who I would come to with a problem necessarily, because you'd tell me the truth and then you'd be stern about it.
I get that.
So what I learned from having a great writer script this scenario for me is that I have just as much strength in softness as I do in my prickliness. Mm-hmm. And that's been a big lesson for me in adulthood, is to understand that softness is also powerful. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that comes naturally to me. So, you know, even when Jeffrey and I suffered our first pregnancy loss, this sounds terrible, but I'd already practiced this scene. Like, I'd already played this scene. So I knew what it meant to let myself be upset, to try to be optimistic in the face of that, all of that. But Jeffrey hadn't, you know, he had never been given a script, and he really struggled in what to say to me. And I wrote about that in my book. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. Like,
for the guy who hasn't felt all the hormone changes and the body changes, pregnancy can oftentimes be imaginary and really hard to connect with. And for the girl, it's the most serious in the world, whether you want that pregnancy or not. Like, it's life or death for you. And I really credit Terrence for the way he crafted these scenes, because Lucas Scott saying, fine, I'll be the dick, I'll be the bad guy if it keeps you alive, was a real thing for a man to say to his partner, you know?
Yes, yes. And you know what? I loved that too. I wrote that down. I said, I really like seeing a man be as sort of, I don't want to say rational because it makes it sound like you're being irrational.
Yeah.
But I really like seeing him be willing to come from that ultimate place of vulnerability, saying, I refuse to do this without you. I can't do this without you. I choose you. And maybe, I don't know, y'all, maybe it's because most of the people we see screaming about taking women's rights away are men. So I'm so used to them being like, it's so sacred and it's what you're born to do and it's easy. And it's like, actually, I played a heart surgeon and I learned that the number one cause of aortic dissection in women, literally where the largest artery in your body rips apart and you internally bleed to death, is pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Like, so when you say it's life and death, it's literally life and death.
Yeah.
So maybe because culturally, unfortunately, in our country, like, so much of the political pushback on women living comes from men. And I was like, thank you, Lucas Scott.
Yeah.
Like, thank you for saying these things. Thank you for being willing to sob and say, I hate this, but also I choose you. I prioritize your life. Mm-hmm. I was so surprised by it. And the fact that Terry gave you guys this opportunity to say every single thing and to confront the fear, like, he did such a good job. And like, God, those are the kinds of men you really want to have in a writer's room.
Well, you know, it reminded me of my husband. Jeffrey, every once in a while, will put on his Pro Row shirt and just go run errands and do school pickup. And I'm like, God damn.
Yeah.
That's my man.
That's my honey.
Yeah. Proud. Because it is, it's been so stereotyped in storytelling that the wife and potential mother needs to martyr herself in order to be this angelic figure.
Yep.
And for every woman out there that is going through a medical crisis, what I don't want is for them to watch Peyton Sawyer say, I'm willing to die for this, and feel like they have to come to the same conclusion.
Yeah.
And so to have Lucas Scott respect the autonomy of his partner and know the risks that come with it, but also know that it's her body. That was important, you know?
Yeah.
It was important, and it makes that balance of storytelling where I'm nervous, but he's sure, and then the flip. I don't know, I loved it.
Oh boy, well, when I moved to Nashville, the first thing I did was get on Wayfair and get one of them professional accounts so that I could order everything, because let me tell you how many things in my house are from Wayfair. So many things. And it's so fun. There's so many options. It's whimsical. If you need modern, if you need old, they have everything.
I love that I can put all the things I need in my shopping cart and then see them all together. And it's just, you can see what the whole room's going to look like. Wayfair is the place to shop for everything home, from sofas and beds to dining sets and decor.
And starting May 4th, you can get up to 80% off site-wide during Way Day, which is their biggest sale of the year. Did you also know they have like a digital room designer on their website? You can put things in your cart and then add them into this fake version of your house, and you can look at the things that you want in your house and see what it looks like. It's amazing. The selection is huge.
Obsessed.
It's their biggest sale of the year, as we said. You can find everything you need for your living room, outdoor areas, bedroom, and more. Huge selection. Home goods ranging from appliances and area rugs to beds and wall art, and it's all on sale.
Wayfair has something for every home, no matter your style or your budget. So preview the Way Day deals and start filling up your cart today. Don't miss Wayfair's biggest sale of the year to get everything for your home. Way Day runs from May 4th through the 6th. Head to wayfair.com now to preview the deals and start filling your cart. That is WAYFAIR.com.
So I play this little game every morning where I leave the house looking decrepit. And then I drop my children off at school. And then I get to my office and I take out a nice, cute little bag that came with my Thrive Cosmetic order. And with just a couple of products, I'm able to look like a normal, happy, healthy human again. It's incredible. I love these products. Thrive Cosmetics has a full line of makeup to refresh your everyday look. With clean, skin-loving ingredients, their foolproof products make it easy for any skill level to apply. Now, a few of my favorite products include their incredible Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner. It's easy to use waterproof pencil, holds like wax, and blends like a powder. Just line brows to give them some structure and create natural looking strokes of hair to fill in sparse brows. It comes with a spoolie brush to lift and tame brows after applying the pencil, and there are 8 shades to choose from that adjust to your natural brow color for a perfect match every time. Now, my other favorite product, I've been talking about this forever, is the Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. Their unique formula creates tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. And it's super easy to remove, you guys. This is my favorite part. It just slides right off with warm water, doesn't leave smudges, doesn't pull your eyelashes out. It's incredible. Its nourishing ingredients support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/drama. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/drama for 10% off your first order. Friends, we need a second to talk about Squarespace. Squarespace has so many helpful and amazing tools, product features, and they make it so user-friendly. Now, one of the product features that I love is their asset library. You can upload, organize, and access all of your content from one place. With the new asset library, you're able to manage all of your files from one central hub and use them across the Squarespace platform. They also have flexible website templates, so you can get started with one of their professional website templates with designs for every category and use case. Then you just customize your look, update content, and add features to fit your unique needs. You can make any Squarespace template do what you want, so your idea, your brand, or your business stands out online on every device. Plus, they will make selling your products on an online store a breeze. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. Go to squarespace.com/drama for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code DRAMA to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
I know there's a couple folks out there that don't know what they're doing for this summer yet. So we have that solved for you. We figured it out. You are going to go to cheapcaribbean.com to find deals on all your favorite all-inclusive destinations, and you're going to spend your summer in paradise.
Yeah, guys, come on, take a break. You work hard. Everybody's working so hard. Swim up to the bar in Punta Cana or sit with your toes in the sand on the shores of Cancun. You can score an extra $175 off site-wide vacations of 4 nights or more now through June 3rd.
Summer is going to be here before you know it, so do your deal and find vacays in your price range at cheapcaribbean.com. That's cheapcaribbean.com.
You know what I liked? I liked that you guys had the space for all of your emotions. And even in the ways, you know, to your point, like, that women get so pressured to martyr themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, our friend Glennon wrote a whole beautiful book about it. Like, yeah. I like that even in the moments where I, from this year, 2024, looked back at this episode from 2009 and went, are they just going to make her ignore her health? Mm-hmm. I really liked that even in the nuance, they gave you the, he said, maybe, so I want to try. And it's like, yeah. I understand that very human habit of holding on to that little glimmer of hope, you know, yeah. Like when I think about, you know, not necessarily even on this topic, but when I think about like, oh yeah, in hindsight, I might be able to see where something wasn't good for me, but like in the moment there was a chance.
Oh yeah.
And I really wanted to bet on the chance. I really wanted to give it my all. I didn't want to give up before I was sure that it wasn't for me. And I just think there's something so human about that, you know, that everybody can really relate to.
If you can survive one more day, mm-hmm. right? And then the next day, if you can survive one more day after that. Mm-hmm. For me, in my pregnancy with George, after, you know, multiple pregnancy losses, that 9 months took for ever. I mean, that was yeah. the longest period of my entire life. because you have to cut it down into bite-sized pieces like that. Mm. You're not going to last the full 9 months. That's not going to happen. But can you last for 6 hours? Yeah. All right. I can do 6 hours. And it's a stressful way to live. But when you're an optimist, and then when you hit that point where you're like, no, I can't do 6 more hours, then the ability for you to make a very sure decision is there. Mm. You know, when you can't do the bite-sized pieces anymore, then the decisions are made and it's really, really easy. So I like that as partners, Peyton was able to say, you're such a dick. Yeah. And it's not, they're not breaking up. It's not a fight where it's like, are you leaving me? You know, it was, we're having a fight and we're going to be okay in 20 minutes, but we really need to have this fight right now.
Yeah, it's a big one.
I love when partners can fight.
By the way, because it's so healthy.
Yeah.
But I loved that moment of the back and forth in, you know, obviously all the pages of this scene. I loved you saying you're a dick and him saying, fine, then I'm a dick.
Yeah.
You know?
He's not trying to talk me out of it.
Mm-mm. He's being real clear. And I just thought that it was like, I thought that it was very beautifully done.
Thanks. I mean, Greg Prange directed this, and that was another layer of weird because I had been with his son for a really long time. And Greg knew me really well, and he also knew about all these kinds of sad parts of me. And so he was very careful with me too. I think everyone knew how sensitive this was for me. And so I felt really taken care of, especially by the guys. The guys somehow knew. I said I wasn't going to cry. They knew that a nerve had been touched. Like this, that's a button you don't touch. And so to do the whole last part of this season, already under duress, man.
Yeah.
We had really good guys. We had good, Steve Allen reached out just recently, our Dolly Grip, and was like, sis, I heard you were talking about me on the podcast, so I'm doing it again, Steve.
We love you, Steve Allen.
I just loved our guys, and Chad became a very dear person to me because of this. So anyway, for all the women out there that are triggered by this, I'm really sorry. And I hope I'm not using language that's offensive because I'm making jokes and stuff about it. But it was just a really complicated thing to do. But I also see I see you in this episode having to do this whole same thing about relationships and failed relationships and opening yourself up and being vulnerable to people, which is something that you've been vocal about. Like... Do you want to light yourself on fire right now?
I mean, it is. It's very wild. And this journey of Brooks was really personal to me, obviously. You know, I'd been like pretty lucky to be pretty sheltered in terms of relationships as a kid. Like, you know, my first relationship was with my best friend and like my camp sweetheart since I was 9. Like I had really sweet, kind, patient people in my life. And then we all got thrust into adulthood and I went through something that was both like so invasive and public, but also like not ever fully talked about. Like nobody knows the full picture. I mean, obviously you do, but I don't think it's really anybody's business. There's this weird thing where like when you're any version of a public figure, like you almost want everybody to have all the facts so that things make sense. And then you're also like, nobody deserves that. But you know, people fill vacuums where you give yourself grace or privacy with their own facts, which are usually pretty gross. And to go through that after like such a period of sweetness when I was a kid was very jarring. And so it definitely, what I realize now, again, like props to my wonderful therapist, Trevor's worth every dollar I pay him.
Thanks, Trevor.
Love you, Trevor. Also, my therapist calls me dude, which like is just my favorite thing. He's sort of like when you talk about how you and Chad became like very brother sister, like my therapist feels like the big brother I never had.
Perfect.
Not the point. Love him. But, you know, what I've learned is that it taught me like, oh, you can be living a life and not realize it's not real. Like you can literally think you know what's going on around you and there's this whole other thing. And so what I learned in these 6 years was like, I don't trust people.
Yeah.
I have to like observe people. I would stay like very single for long periods of time and just observe people. Anybody who like wanted to date me, I'd make them become my friend and I'd observe them to see like, who are you really when you're not trying to like woo me or impress me?
Right.
You know, like I just
you
wouldn't.
Also would sick your friends on people like, hey, oh, go. Yeah. Go see how they
I'd be
treat
like,
you.
Go tell me what you think of this. Like, yeah. Tell me, you go talk to that person and see if I'm crazy. Because I really didn't think for a long time that I could trust my judgment, you know?
When that gets ripped away from you, baby, like,
yeah,
it's so hard to come back from that.
Well, yeah. And when you go through betrayal, you go like, oh, do I have any idea what's real and what isn't?
Yeah.
You know, it is a kind of loss. Like when you talk about loss, it is a loss of, you know, a loss of trust for others is painful enough, but a loss of self-trust is difficult. Mm-hmm. And so for me, what I see being done in this episode is like the people who knew me and observed me for 6 years were like, hey, honey, do you realize you do this? Do you realize you hold people at arm's length? Like you really Heisman people.
Yeah.
And I did, like, certainly. And I've always moved very slowly for a very long time, I think. That was just sort of how I learned to protect myself. And it was interesting to watch it be written about in a way, like, because it's me, but it's not me. And just go like, oh, wow, people really can see me. Mm-hmm. Ugh. And like, so we really have our real lives, like in a sense, it's like a shadow self, like a copy.
Like your avatar.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Multiplicity. Like it's the second Michael Keaton where you're like, it's me, but it's not me, but it's me. I feel this is very intimate and personal.
I really struggled with Julian in this episode. I thought he was gross. I thought when Brooke said ick, when she said ew ick at the top of the episode,
I don't do that.
I agree with her. But then when I saw Peyton's stomach bump, I realized like, oh, some time has passed. Like,
that's the thing.
Has it been 3 months? Has it been 4 months? Like, I wish they had given us some semblance of time other than a growing bump on Peyton.
Well, especially because we kept getting the chyrons for the vignettes. Yeah, yeah. 7-year itch, deleted scene. Like, couldn't they have given us like a 3 months later?
Right, because Julian, the last thing I knew, you were throwing your fucking letter jacket at him, you know?
And yeah.
Like, you guys had a fight and then you sort of made up in the diner. It was fine. And now he's saying, I love you, like crazy talk. It was a little whiplashy for me in the beginning. But then as the story progressed and he kept pushing you further and further and further, it really felt to me like he was an incel in high school and actually never really had a girlfriend.
Yeah.
I was like, why are you guilting this chick? It's so passive aggressive. It's not, I don't want anyone to ever tell me they love me because I forced them to. Before they were comfortable with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it started in such a good place and then it did get almost a little combative. And I was like,
I don't know if I'm just being sensitive because I'm protective of Brooke, but...
Yeah.
I'm sure there's people out there that are like, Hillary, lay off. She needed to hear the hard love. She needed to hear it. And sure.
Maybe.
Sure. Maybe she did, but... It just felt really pressure.
Mm. Well, here's what I think is cool. I liked the reveal because Brooke's never said it until this episode. I like the reveal that she has not been in love since high school.
Whoa.
You know, because you can kind of assume it in the 4 years we skipped. We never saw it in the flashbacks. We saw Victoria making her go on dates so she'd get photographed with the hot guy for the tabloid, whatever. But to hear her say it and to see Julian see it and to see the discomfort, like, I remember how that felt to stand there and think about what it would be like to have someone see your secret that you just haven't opened yourself up to anybody in so long. Yeah. And I appreciated, as much as I thought by the end of the scene, he was a little petulant. They wrote him that way. What I appreciated was the fact that she was able to say, like, no matter how bad you feel about this dynamic, imagine how I feel.
Yeah.
And that she got to say how hard it is to be the footnote in someone else's love story. And what I loved that he said to her in response is that you gave up feeling like you deserve love. I was like, oh, God, oh, it cuts deep. Where you go, like, maybe that's just not for me. Like, I've had that experience. I've had to come to terms with that experience, with reaching a point in life where it's like, well, I know I want to be a parent, and I know I want partnership, and I know I want these things, and I have so much love in my life. So maybe it doesn't look like it's looked on TV or in movies. Maybe it looks like a partnership for the good of others. Maybe it looks like different than I thought it was going to look like. Yeah. And the real roundabout for me, the like aha moment, is, like we said, this idea of martyring. It is what Glennon wrote her book about. It's like, yeah. Well, if I'm going to be in a relationship or a marriage for my eventual daughter, would I want this relationship for my daughter? Yeah. And I think that's a big lesson. And I see that in my life.
That's so weird. Can I tell you that exact quote has popped up in my algorithm multiple times in the last couple days? And I don't
really
know why.
By the way, it's been in mine a lot too. And I'm like, are they listening to the conversations I'm having with Trevor? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, weird. Yeah, it's like her doing an interview talking about that exact excerpt.
Yes.
Weird.
All right.
Yes. And like, I remember when I first read that book, I sent it to my mom, and like, it gave us a whole conversation. And yeah, my mom and I talked about like our family histories and generational trauma and things in my parents' relationship and things in the relationships I've been in. Like, it's such a profound thing of, oh, we will make all these, we'll pretzel ourselves in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But we would never want anyone to pretzel our kids.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want them to be folded up and made small. And
no.
And I think the reason I love what's happening in this episode so much is it rings true for me. It rings true for me at the age we filmed it. It rings true for me now where I've been. I know it rang true for you then, and I know it rings even truer for you now, given where you've been in your family and with your stories of loss. And like, that, I think, is the power of a good story, when you can go like, oh, all of these things are really unique, these storylines, but they're super universal because they're true.
Well, isn't that fucked up that we could do the show in our early 20s and then be here in our 40s still triggered by it? And
yeah,
I think
hello.
That's why our show was a multi-generational show. Like,
yeah.
If this were just airing on TV right now, I would feel just as connected to this character as I did
yes.
at 25 years old.
Totally agree. And I think that is the magic of our show. I think it's why we have, you know, we get to hang out with all these different groups of intergenerational fans when we go to events and stuff. Everyone in their 40s relates to it, and so does everyone in their 20s. And by the way, like, so do our parents. And I was about to say in their 60s, and then I'm like, my parents are in their 70s, and they're still, like, totally
yeah,
accurate.
Hey, Maureen.
Hey, Maureen.
Hey, Maureen.
You know, like,
yeah.
And I just think, this is the specialness of story. And so often when our real stories were used on camera, it felt gross. But this, I actually really appreciate for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind having a script in life. I don't mind having like a practice run. Mm-hmm. And that's what our show really was for us in a lot of ways. Like, Chad was my first wedding. Like, and first, you know, pregnancy yep. and all this kind of stuff. And you just get to, you know how people drive around in their cars and they have fake conversations just to practice?
Yeah.
Do you do that? I do that.
Oh, I talk to myself and other people who aren't here in my house all day.
All the time. You have to practice the conversation.
Yeah.
You have the conversation.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to practice ahead of time. And sometimes 5 years later, you're like, what I should have said was.
Yeah. And another thing, I'm going to bring it back up.
I'm going to say this.
Yeah. This was for a lot of my stuff, like our practice run, One Tree yeah. Hill. So we practiced. And
do you ever wonder, and like, maybe this is kind of fucked up, but do you ever watch our show and go like, did we like manifest all the things that happened to us later? Like, did the show say to the universe, oh, more of this? Because I would have liked to have been like, no, this is just for work.
Girl, honestly, we conjured so much unintentionally when we did this show. Because when you say things
being
out
real
loud.
Witchy.
Yeah, when you say things out loud, that's powerful. You know, the power of speech is incredibly powerful. And, you know, you when you put your energy into words and ideas and thoughts and you do it over and over and over again, it ends up happening. It always, if I say someone's name 3 times, you bet your ass they're going to send me a Facebook message or text me or just can show up at the supermarket. It's a nightmare. So I'm really careful what I say. And
yeah,
with this show, Yeah. Having a baby, having pregnancy complications, you know, Peyton was all about mom and pop shops, you know, the trick of it all, the all ages club. And here I am with the town candy store, you know, hanging out with all the teenagers. It just feels really cyclical. And I like that. And I think it's happening for other characters on our show, too. You know, when we see Nathan and Haley, you know, when we see Mouth and Millie even having these like very hard conversations. Yeah. We know the people behind it who have conquered really hard things in their life. Mm-hmm. And we know that maybe this was a good practice run for everybody on adulting. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, I mean, and that's something I think is so cool is the stages of relationships everyone in. Like Brooke and Julian are on the precipice of something and he's asking her to leap with him. Peyton and Lucas are on the verge of this whole new frontier. And then we get to go with Nathan and Haley with our other, like, you know, pillar couple.
Thank God they're safe.
Thank God. But by the way, how cute that they're in the 7-year itch moment. And instead of it being a problem with their relationship is stronger than ever. But they're both being really honest that individually they don't have what they want yet. Mm-hmm. That they want more of the things that make them as individuals happy. Nathan wants to pursue basketball, and because he wants to pursue basketball, he knows Haley wants to pursue music.
Yeah.
And like, who could call her on that but him and say, like, I saw your face, and the reason I know the feeling is because I get that feeling. I love that he does that for her in this.
When she says there's only room for one attention whore in this family. I was like,
so good.
Girl, I heard that.
I heard that.
Yeah, no, there's definitely room for 2 attention whores in every family, but no more. yeah, I liked that they had that really honest conversation because, first of all, when they first show up in that house, I'm like, what the fuck are they doing in a house? Why didn't they just go to a hotel?
Yeah.
But there's something kinky about being in a for sale house, you know?
Listen, 7 years in, we're getting lessons on how to keep it spicy, you know?
Jeff and I hooked up in a house that was for sale once.
Did you saw my face? I was like, are you going to say it? Are you going to say it? Because I know the story.
So that's all I can think
I'm
about.
So red. I'm so proud of you.
I'm not embarrassed. We have been together for 15 fucking years. We can do whatever we want.
I am real proud of you, babe.
So that's all I could think about as I watched this scene, like, get that, Haley. I get that.
Yeah, okay.
Cool. Making moves. That's why
7 years in, that feels right.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas, and more, or simply just want to soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder. Or find a featured all-inclusive package to Sunscape resorts and spas and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.
Okay, friends, we are here to help you out. Mother's Day is May 12th. That means it's fast approaching. So instead of scrambling last minute this year, Hillary and I think you should try Macy's for your Mother's Day gifts.
Oh, we sure do. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. You can shop by price, like $25 and under to $100 and under, categories like fragrance, handbags, and more, or their gift lists like for the mom who has everything, or for grandma, or for gifts that are already wrapped.
Macy's is making it so easy on you. Find top gifts like Beats headphones, digital photo frame, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TV, The Frame, which I have a couple of, love them. They're all at Macy's.com/gift finder.
Head on over to Macy's.com/gift finder for the perfect inspiration for Mother's Day.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively.
So therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. Yeah. I've had plenty of times in my life and seasons where I have needed a safe space where I could just know that there was no judgment. I could just sort of dump out whatever I was thinking. And sometimes even just hearing myself say things out loud made it easier to go, wait a second, actually, I don't believe that. Why am I carrying that narrative around in my brain? But it doesn't always feel easy to say that kind of stuff to friends or people you're in relationship with. So I love therapy for that reason and many more.
I do too. I totally agree, especially because therapy is a dedicated chunk of time. Like for me, it's an hour a week where I really focus on my self-care. It's like I think of it as a, you know, gym for my brain and my heart. And it's so important to take care of yourself in that way. And like you said, Joy, you can't always unburden on your friends. And I think a lot of us sometimes don't talk about what's going on with us because we feel guilty asking somebody to help us work through something. But that's literally a therapist's job. And I think that's why it works so well. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/drama today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drama. Oh gosh, I'm so excited whenever we get these offers. I love using my coupons that I virtually clip out for Thrive because they have all these options of things that I can't find in my local grocer. And the one thing everyone has to do is grocery shop, right? So why not do it from the comfort of your couch? And for me, that's where Thrive Market comes in.
Totally agree. Thrive Market is my go-to for all of my grocery and my household essentials. And the convenience of getting everything online and then quick ship to my doorstep, huge time saver.
I love that Thrive Market carries brands with the highest quality ingredients and sourcing methods. They restrict hundreds of ingredients across their food and cleaning categories, and I use their online filters to suit my lifestyle needs. So whether you're looking for organic kids snacks or low sugar alternatives or gluten-free pantry essentials, you can curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks to make simpler, healthier swaps.
Not only do we all save time shopping as Thrive Market members, but I love that I save money on every single grocery order. I mean, on average, it's over 30% savings every single time. Whether that's pantry staples, like you said, like, you know, peanut butter and coconut oil, or I am getting the gluten-free snacks I'm actually supposed to be eating, it really makes a big difference.
When you join Thrive Market, you are also helping a family in need with their one-for-one membership matching program. You join, they give.
So save time and money. Shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/drama for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. That's Thrive, T-H-R-I-V-E, market.com/drama. thrivemarket.com/drama. I also loved, again, like when we talk about this idea that our characters feel a little bit like the first Michael Keaton in yes. Multiplicity, you know, like just one copy over.
Yeah.
Watching Nathan and Haley run around in this house and sort of fantasize about this parallel universe life, mm-hmm. it feels like they're toying with their own little avatars.
Oh, yeah. What would it look like?
And talking about what could be.
Yeah, and it was interesting to me that she kept choosing, like, movie references. It was like uh-huh. she was trying to create a, because she didn't grow up necessarily in a conventional household. Her parents have sold the house. They're living in an RV, mm-hmm. you know? She's trying to create the fantasy, right? The white picket yeah. fence, the old house filled up with kids. Like, it's a very antiquated version of what a happy family looks like. And yeah. then Nathan comes in and is like, but that's not our happy. Our happy is mom on the road, which is yeah. the exact opposite of mother martyrdom, mm-hmm. you know? And to have mm-hmm. the boy recommend that. What mm-hmm. I want to know who Terry's therapist was, our writer. Because
yes. because by the way, who's that man's therapist? Mm-hmm. And can Terry maybe write like an advice book for dudes? What are we doing?
Yeah. Well, that's it. Like when I had my first miscarriage and Jeff didn't know what to do, someone gave me a book that was written by a man who had experienced
really?
That.
And was it helpful?
It helped me because all of a sudden I understood what he was going through. And then when I gave it to him, he didn't feel like an alien, you know?
Hmm.
So for Terry, yeah, Terry, we need you to write a book on all things like how to support your partner's career, how to deal with loss, how to show mm-hmm. up in a way that's
yes,
helpful.
Please.
And not manipulative. Also, though, like, don't force people to tell you that they love you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was probably a little bit of a device to poke the bear, to poke the brook.
Yeah, we needed Julian. He's not a perfect person. He's not mm-hmm. good. He's not bad. He's just trying.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, and you don't always get it right. And that is something that I think is actually so important. Mm-hmm. To show on TV. Because
yeah.
part of the problem, like when you talk about what Haley's trying to achieve, you watch those rom-coms and you think that's what your life is supposed to be like. And that's not life. It's not that easy. And I actually like when our characters don't always get it right. And then they figure out how to get through it. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we learn. Like that's what you're talking about with this book you guys got. It taught you how to get it more right with each other because you didn't know how yet.
Yeah. For anybody that is going through something like that, though,
Yeah. What is the book?
It's called Vessels. And
okay.
it was so incredibly helpful, not just in this, but in like my whole marriage.
Mm.
It is a book by Daniel Rayburn, Raeburn. It's wonderful. It was a really helpful book. Because I do think that boys get a bad rap. You know, they're not necessarily given a ton of great examples of how to be involved in their mm-hmm. partner's hard stuff. It's mm-hmm. it's almost like they're given this choice. Like you can either be overbearing and mansplain and tell her what to do, or just be mm-hmm. so hands off that she's abandoned.
That she's like, I can't believe I did this with you.
Yeah. Nathan could very easily say like, whatever you want, Haley. Whatever you want.
Yeah.
But he's involving himself. He's got a lot on his plate. She's coming to him with this problem of like, hey, so I got suspended. Sorry, I didn't tell you. But maybe let's just change our whole life right now.
Yeah. It's sort of like when someone goes through a breakup and they cut bangs and you're like, no, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
I went through that. In my crew. Well, I mean, I've done it. But no, this summer, like with everybody I know was either getting divorced or having a baby. I was like, whoa, this is wild. But in like my closest crew of the five of us, now it's four, who one stayed and four didn't, who were all getting divorced. My best friend called and was like, so is today the day I get bangs? And
no.
I was like, we've been doing this dance for 15 years. We do not go through a breakup and cut bangs.
No.
We're not doing this. And so I wound up getting our friend Ricky, who was like our big consulting, wonderful hairdresser when we did our salon in Detroit. We called Ricky and I was like, Ricky, I need you to order Nia a set of clip-in bangs. so she can clip them in on the days that she thinks that she wants these, and then she can take them out because I know her as well as I know myself, and she never is happy 3 days after she cuts them. We've done this twice in the last decade, and so now we both have clip-in bangs.
Sophia, if you don't launch a line of Brooke bangs, I am going to be so mad at you. You have been talking about clip-in bangs for years.
I'm obsessed with them.
I know.
It's like the easiest way to have a change.
Yeah. If you don't get on that, I'm going to be furious with you.
Okay. Who do we talk to? Do you want to help?
Well, apparently your friend who can make bangs. Yeah. I just need some with like a little gray stripe right here. A little white stripe. Yeah. Brooke bangs are going to be a huge seller at Target, my friend. No one else is selling just like bangs.
Oh, they're all I want.
Just put them in the same aisle as all the shampoo and hair products and stuff at these like big stores. And every woman that's like got that 1 hour to herself between work and kid pickup is just going to be like, I'm just going to try them. I just need a bang today.
We just need what are the ends of the aisles called?
A kiosk. You just need a little kiosk.
The aisle cap? I want that.
You're going to make so much fucking money on this idea.
Me and Sally Hansen, let's go.
I love
new nails, new bangs, new you.
Oh, I fucking love it so much. I do want bangs just because.
I do too. Wait, speaking of changes that people make, this is sort of a hard left, but sort of not.
No, I know
Millie
where you're
getting
going.
LASIK. The LASIK is a big old change because when Mouth finds her glasses in the drawer, like this old piece of her has been left behind. It really hit me. It made my little voice catch in my throat.
You know what I liked about it? My gut reaction when she said, I got LASIK, was that she did this thing. She didn't consult him. She, you know, it's a cosmetic procedure, but she made this decision completely on her own.
Mm-hmm.
The same way she did with her virginity. She didn't consult anyone. Mm-hmm. And there seems to be this gradual building of Millie where she doesn't need permission for shit. And when he's like, I miss the glasses, had she asked him, should I get LASIK? And he said, no, I like the glasses. An old Millie, that would have altered her decision. But new Millie's like, I'm not going to ask anybody. I just don't want to wear these things on my face anymore.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, I'm like, did Lisa actually get LASIK during those episodes she was off? Because remember, we were all getting LASIK done by Mike Leone's wife.
Yeah, Kay Leone.
I'm like, did Kate fix her eyes?
Like, I don't know.
Prior to this episode? I'm so curious.
Were Lisa's glasses ever real?
Yes.
Okay.
They were real.
Interesting.
I know.
Yeah, I like it. I like it for Millie. You know, it's a little she's all that. Taking the glasses off and being infinitely like hotter now. She's not a virgin anymore.
Look at her. She's in high boots and silk and there's cleavage. Ooh.
She was in a Brooke Davis top.
She looks
for
so
sure.
good. I love that top.
Yeah, it looked fantastic. And I was like, why don't we still have blouses like that? Because I like that they hug your tits, but they're not snug on my belly because I don't like snug on my belly.
I don't either. I want to be able to eat a burrito and have people not ask me if I'm pregnant.
So we're going to sell bangs and tit hugging shirts, but leave that belly free. Okay. God, Sophia, we have so many things to do business-wise.
I just love this.
No, I like that Mouth apologized to her. I like that he copped to the text messages and was like, I am accepting ownership of this. And I also like that it still wasn't enough for Millie because she was like, okay, you're sorry. Like, okay, but this is my stuff. This, I have to deal with this in my head. Like, I don't need your permission to forgive myself. Mm-hmm. I need to handle me. There's just, again, it's like an autonomy story where she is centered in herself. It was great.
Yeah.
I hate it for her. I feel bad, but. She looks hot and seems like she's on the right path. And I guess I'm not worried about her. I know she was crying in her car, but sometimes we do that for fun.
So Sometimes you just need a good cry.
Girl, if the Celine Dion song comes on, hey, you know I'm going to feel some things.
I love it. Little Paula Cole.
Oh, come on.
Sinead O'Connor. Come on. Oh. Just like the old emo.
Girl.
Songstresses.
Man. I want to hurt.
My girlfriend Betty Who just covered.
Oh, she's so. I just
did. You see
it.
The Paula Cole cover?
I just. Oh. That's why I said, "Oh God."
I know.
Yes,
it killed me.
Yeah, she's.
I was
cool.
Like, more of this, please. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We got to send it to all our Dawson's friends.
It is really, really good. Do we think they're going to get back together? He kept the glasses in the drawer, which I like because when men leave things planted in their apartment. Mm. It means they don't plan on bringing anything new over.
Uh-huh.
Or they're sadistic. But I don't think Mouth's a sadist. I don't think he's...
I don't either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm... As much as I don't love the way that they've written some of this stuff for Mouth, I like Mouth and Millie together. I think my hope is that they get past... You know, some petulant writing.
Because he's already said, even though Terry wrote really like lovely things for him to say in this episode, he said some heinous shit in previous episodes. And it's like,
it was not cool.
Oh, it's hard to get over.
Yeah. I will say, though, what I do really appreciate is him owning his behavior. Finally. Oh. You know, I felt like that was a really long time coming.
Well, was that another dig at our boss? You said on the last episode that Mike Harrow was taking digs at our boss
mm-hmm.
with all of the like creepy director behavior. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so there's a part of me with all this text message talk that makes me think that maybe Terry was playing the same card because the text messages were relentless.
Well, and the text messages, like Gigi's entire storyline is our boss's fantasy of how he wishes women would throw themselves at him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I wonder if there's some sort of role reversal call out happening with Mouth there.
Yeah, just even like participating in that when you're in a relationship mm-hmm. is no bueno.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and I don't know what was happening in season 6. But I definitely know, you know, some of our sweet friends who come in next season. I do know that one of the things our boss would do to them a lot would be like, oh yeah, send me a picture of your fitting. Mm. Like, I want to see what the outfits are. Like, you know, wardrobe is slow. And then it would be like, well, you know, but you've got a scene. You have a love scene with so-and-so, like, what are the underwear options? And he would essentially, like, under the guise of needing to pick wardrobe,
God.
Like, force women to send photos of themselves in underwear to him.
Are you fucking kidding?
I'm not. So I wonder if he had tried to pull that with any of our sweet little guest stars this season. And if that was part of the Gigi of it all. I don't know. I'd be very curious to ask.
Relentless.
Also, I'm just like, what a loser. Like, you really have nothing better to do? You have the whole internet at your disposal. Like, why do you have to bug people?
You have professionals at your disposal.
Whole internet at your disposal to find whatever kind of pictures you're looking for. Why you gotta make people uncomfortable?
Take your kink elsewhere, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah. Poor Mel.
You know what kind of kink we like? Cutie couples in the houses. What kind of kinks we don't? Mm-hmm. Being a creep.
Don't be a creep.
People who don't want you to be a creep in their cell phones.
Yeah, don't be a cell phone creep. I hate
draw
that.
On a line.
Dan's being a fucking creep in the episode. The flip.
Dude, the flip. And it was exactly what we talked about last mm-hmm. week. Mm-hmm. We love Dan Scott so much in these moments. We can't believe it. He seems different.
Mm-hmm.
And then the flip on Deb, I was like, oh, there he is.
He almost got us, didn't he?
He almost got us. We knew better.
Yeah.
See, this is why I don't trust my judgment.
Every time. We fall for it every time with Dan Scott. Oh, how come you and Nanny Deb aren't together? And you're thinking, I get it, Jamie. I'd want them to get back together, too.
Yeah, because you love them both so much.
And then Deb is like, not today.
And then he blames her.
We need to be more Deb. We need to be like, no, I'm going to hate you forever.
Forever.
And then 10 more years after forever.
Yeah.
She's cold-blooded.
I like that. You know what I call that? I call that a strong boundary. Thank you, Trevor.
Thanks, Trevor. I appreciate your therapist, Trevor, because I get like the trickle-down effect where now you talk me off my ledges. It works out great for everybody.
Hey, it's been wonderful.
Did you think when Deb was looking at that photo album that she was going to make a pass at Dan or something?
I caught myself holding my breath.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I was like, what is this? What's happening? Are we reminiscing? What? Mm-hmm. What? And yeah. Then, I see.
You know what she was doing? She was compartmentalizing the way that we do, where we're like, mm-hmm. everything's fine.
It's great.
I
hate you, but you'd never know.
Everything makes sense.
I'm fantasizing about plotting your death, but you'd never know.
Oh my God. Yeah. Deb, she's a great actress, Deb.
Well, and the shock then, because they really get into it and it gets heightened and heightened. And
yeah.
And it starts in this sweet memory, right, with Disney. So then the photo album makes sense and you're kind of like, oh my God, what's happening is this family finding some semblance of healing and do we want that? And then she slaps him with it and then he really just, God, he comes back.
He grabbed her.
Yeah, he comes back in full force and he grabs her and he's vicious. And then in walks the kid with the beeper and you go, now?
Mm-hmm. Right when she says, I can't wait for you to die. Like, that makes me believe in justice. God. All right.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, look, we all know what's going to happen. It's one of the most legendary moments in Tree Hill history. And I can't wait to talk about it.
Oh, that poor dog.
What was your honorable mention for this episode?
Honestly, for me, I'd give the honorable mention to Terry, to our writer.
Yeah.
I think he did such a beautiful job.
He really got my gallows humor. And so my honorable mention is for the specific lines where Peyton's like, oh, I'm going to haunt your ass. But just think about, she says, think about how much Jake Jagielski single dad tail you're going to get. Like, the Jake Jagielski reference in the midst of this super traumatic talk.
It's so funny.
Guys, this is why I'm always making like horrible jokes right when we're about to get really vulnerable, because it's what they did to me on this show. They just ingrained this morbid sense of,
I love it.
Fuck it up.
I love it. I need it because I'll sit and talk about feelings all day. I need you to be like, shut up and drink this.
I'm drink.
Like, okay.
Yin and yang. I hope you all have your yin and yang partner out there in the world. We have a question, baby. What's our question here?
It's from Jamie. If you girls had a cheer coach in the earlier seasons, who would you have liked to cast for that role?
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Okay, so I had some real cheer coaches and that really stood out to me. And I'm trying to think of like who their celebrity counterpart was. I had Linda Harmon, who was like the tiniest little Italian woman who would just tear our asses up. I mean, she was terrifying, but we were the best. We were the best cheerleading squad.
Yeah. You lived to impress her.
Oh, God. I
loved
her. I
don't know why. And maybe this is just because we are so nostalgic for them because we've met them now and they've been so kind to us. But what I would give for like another iconic teen show actress, like imagine if Tiffany Thiessen or Jenny Garth had been our cheer coach, like someone from 90210 or Saved by the Bell, like Kelly Kapowski is our cheer coach. Come on.
Yeah, that would have crushed for sure.
I would have flipped.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the ticket. That's the right answer. No, I like that. I mean, you know how much she meant to me in real life, being able to kind of coach me after leaving this show. All my coaches were like grown-ups, like moms. They were older.
Yeah.
But having a chick that's only like 8 years older than you, 10 years older than you.
Yeah.
they're close enough to what you're going through that they're not going to talk down to you.
Well, and it would have been such a cool person to have on the show, because for anyone who doesn't want to go to a parent with a problem, you have this older peer. It's like a real intergenerational friendship. I would have really liked that.
Yeah, that's the right answer. I love that.
All right, cool. In a parallel universe, our cheerleading avatars are with her.
Yeah, Tiffany's the best. There's just so nobody cooler. Let's spin a wheel. All right, we have a most likely to. Oh.
Most likely to buy a motorcycle without telling their partner. I mean, he's not on our show, but that's your husband.
He's literally walking in the door right now. Come here. We just, you know how we do most likely to on the podcast? We just spun the wheel. And the question is, who is most likely to buy a motorcycle without telling their partner? And Sophia's like, it's you.
I said, he's not on our show, but it's Jeffrey. Hi, sugar.
I totally win that. I just bought a car without.
Don't tell it. I'm so stop mad it. About it. Get out.
What did he? Did he really?
Yeah, my husband wasn't on the show, but he almost was. His Uncle Keith. But is it Craig Sheffer then? Is it Sheff? You know.
Yeah, Sheffer would probably do that.
Because didn't we see pictures of him riding motorcycles with his daughter Willow?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Sheff. It's Uncle Keith.
Yeah, because I don't think any of the other boys ride motorcycles.
Well, Austin always would show up to like lunch in L.A. on a fucking
Vespa.
Oh,
that's right.
He thought it was a motorcycle. I was like, Austin, what is this girl bike you're on?
Well, he had that old, he bought like one of those cool old vintage Triumphs and I think it like never started. And then him and Patty did that trip to Italy and he was like, Vespas are cool. And we were all like, are they?
I'm so mean to poor Austin, and that just means that I love him so much. I'm rough on him.
You tease him the most probably because we talk to him the most.
Well, yeah, it's safe.
It feels right.
Yeah. All
right. You got to punch your brotherly figures every once in a while.
Because he's cute. He's cute. It's like you hit the cute boy. Sorry. Season 6, episode 18 next week, searching for a former clarity. Fingers crossed we survive.
The titles really make me nervous sometimes. I'm like, does that mean it's going to be a bummer? I don't know. We'll see. Friends, thanks for joining us. We will see if we get joy from Sophia next week. You guys, I'm never going to get over it. I don't know why it makes me laugh so much.
You have to go.
I want to go.
Sophia and Sophia?
Me and my town? I've never been to Bulgaria. I would like to go.
If someone can find me a town named Hillary... That's your project, America.
Okay.
Go nuts.
If you liked the outdoors, we could get you a bunch of like snowboarding gear from Burton, but you don't want that.
You want me to camp? Christ.
I would take you, but I know you won't go with me, so it's fine.
I'll go one day. All right.
One time. You heard it here, folks. She promised.
I love you.
I love you. See you next week.
Bye, guys. Hey, thanks for listening.
Don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow us on Instagram at dramaqueensoth.
Or email us at dramaqueens@iheartradio.com.
See you next time.
We're all about that high school drama girl, all about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl,
drama girl,
cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens,
smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl. You could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens, drama, drama queens, drama queens.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas, and more, or simply just want to soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder. Or find a featured all-inclusive package to Sunscape resorts and spas and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Boy, I've spent
definitely a significant amount of time in therapy in my life. And I think there's just so many layers to life that can be hard to navigate, and having somebody there to just talk through things really makes the days easier sometimes.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through.
BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. I don't know about y'all. I love the holidays, and they also stress me out. Yesterday, I was trying to get everybody's gifts wrapped, and I just needed a second. I was on my fourth paper cut, and I was like, okay, take a walk around the house, calm yourself down. And you know what I did? I went and got myself a cookie, and I felt better. So all I'm saying is, if you're tired or besieged by paper cuts, I think you deserve a cookie too.
I agree. Guys, Keebler Sandies are buttery. They're shortbread cookies made with delicious ingredients like cranberries, pecans, and almonds.
And each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by those cute little Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies. It's the perfect treat that'll keep you going.
Next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
You guys, have you heard about Squarespace? You must have, because I talk about it all the time. Their website has helped me with my businesses, but it will also help you grow your business. And it really does take the guesswork out of building a website. They have so many helpful and amazing tools, product features, and they make it so user-friendly. Now, one of our favorite product features is the Fluid Engine. With Fluid Engine, a next-generation website design system from Squarespace, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity. Start with a best-in-class website template and then customize every design detail with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. Stretch your imagination online with Fluid Engine. Built in and ready to go on any new Squarespace site. Go to squarespace.com/drama for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code DRAMA to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.